Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being able to come here on a Saturday. I know it's pretty weather outside. The talk is titled Agni, an efficient dual access file system over object storage. My name is Kunal Alani. I was a grad student at Johns Hopkins under Randall Burns. And this is in joint collaboration with Vasily Tarasov and David Pease at IBM Research. So what's dual access? It's a term that we introduce, we are coining. And the way we define dual access is this capability to access the same piece of data using a file interface or an object interface. And objects is a word which is used in different contexts. Here, when I say an object interface, think AWS S3, think Azure Blobs, think Google Cloud Stores. And file interface, we're all aware of it. It's EXT3, EXT4, XFS. So how do you achieve this? Well, if you want to achieve this, you want to ask me a question, where will we use this? And it has use cases in media, life sciences, geoinformatics, and neuroscience. So let's dig deeper into a use case for the media world and see how does dual access help them. In the media world, object stores have become the default form of object store for storing any amount of data. The media generators use an object interface and store their data in an object store. They have different applications which come in, which want to access this over a file interface. This could be for transcoding it, inserting cinematic effects, even Photoshopping it. And finally, you have the content consumers come in, the streaming applications, which will consume this over a object interface and then stream it over a CDN. And you can clearly see why a dual access system would be very helpful. You don't have to move your data around. It all lives in one location, and all the applications can then talk to it. But what are the challenges in building a dual access system? Right? I mean, why is it so hard to build? It's because there are fundamental differences between how object stores work and file systems work. So the biggest change when it comes to partial writes. File systems allow you to partially update a file or even append to it. Object stores objects are immutable. You can't rename them or rewrite them. You need to do this operation, which we call a read-modify-write. So read it, update it, and then write it all over again, which is highly inefficient. Namespace. File systems have a hierarchical namespace. We use them every day. We know it's files and folders. Object namespace is pretty flat. Even though you use S3 and you see the folders there, they're actually faking it. They're using a slash as a delimiter. It's all a flat namespace. And interfaces itself. File systems, we know what to expect. Most of them support POSIX. We know how it works. Object stores, there is no standardization. Yes, there are some common interfaces across them, but some object stores support more than others. Some offer you more feature than others. And so how do you go about building a dual access system given these challenges? So we sat down and looked through this, and here's the agenda for today's talk. So first, in the design consideration section, we will look at what we saw goes into designing a system. Under existing systems, we will look at how some other systems approach this problem. And finally, we'll talk about Agni, our system, and how we deal with this issue. In design considerations, so we created a list. We talked to a bunch of stakeholders in the industry. We went back into our own file systems background, and we saw what would you need in a dual access system. You want it to be object-based because it's extremely cheap and scalable. You want it to be generic, to be able to run on any object store out there. You want it to have efficient interfaces, otherwise nobody's going to be able to use it or want to use it. Distributed, because you want to scale out of a single node. And a coherent namespace. Given the paucity of time, I'll focus on these three, and they do equal justice to the others in the paper. So what about genericness? We said we want this capability to run on any object store out there. We don't want to design a very specific object store which supports our use case, but is not being, you know, nobody can use it because they can't deploy it. And the way we went about doing this is by creating a list of common operations across all popular object stores. And that's all that our system will use. So we use get, which fetches an object, put inserts an object, delete removes an object, multipart is a parallel version of get and put, And finally, events, which are notifications if an operation happens over an object. What about efficiency? Now, efficiency is a very tricky problem. And I'll take you through one design choice that you have to make when designing a system and how it creates issues when you want to do dual access. So the question is, how would you map a file to an object? The very first thing you start to decide. You could do a one-to-one mapping. Each file is a single object. You could do a one-to-n mapping, split your file into multiple objects, or do an end-to-one mapping, where you pack multiple files into a single object. You could even be more smart and do an end-to-end mapping. However, for purposes of dual access, one-to-one works. All others are very non-intuitive to the user. The user doesn't know what's happening or which file maps to which data. Let's flip this around and talk about efficiency. In one-to-one, you end up read-modify-writing the entire object, highly inefficient given the huge size of files we are dealing with today. One-to-one mapping is much less efficient. It's a function of the object size you choose. And finally, end-to-end mapping is inefficient as well. For the purposes of efficiency, one-to-end mapping is great. But the issue is it's now at loggerheads with the design choice for dual access. And this will be a continuing theme across other design choices you will need to make. So how do you ensure dual access and yet remain efficient? Let's talk about namespace incoherency. So here's a very simple example on how you would name your files in an object store, right? You would just use your file path. It's very intuitive to the user and easy to understand. Now, what happens if the user comes in and inserts a file a/c through the object interface? Remember, you don't control that interface. You have, how do you stop that? Because the object store thinks it's a valid operation. For the file system, it cannot have C and C/ together. This causes an incoherency. And it becomes more complicated when you want to support symlinks and hardlinks, which we do. So how do existing systems deal with this, right? Where do they stand? Are they trying to solve these problems or not? And a simple way to solve this problem is, say, this can't be done. I just am going to keep a file system and an object store separate. Most people do this. They move their data around, and life is great. But obviously, these have downsides. You could be a little more sophisticated and say, why not create a file system abstraction over object stores? The application doesn't know any better. For it, it's talking to a file system. And this design is called an object storage file system. There are quite a few of these systems out there. We did an exhaustive survey. And we grouped them into different buckets. On one end of the spectrum are systems which behave more like object stores. S3FS and Google Fuse are popular examples. They do provide you some modicum of dual access, but the issue is they're highly inefficient. On the other end of the spectrum are file system-like systems. SFFS and MARFS are popular examples. They give you extremely efficient file interfaces, but don't provide you dual access. And then somewhere in the middle is a new emerging class of systems, which we term customized hybrids. OpenIOFS, ProxyFS from SwiftStack are examples here. They're trying to provide some dual access. It's very limited. But they have a big limitation where you can only run on their object store, which is not really possible for a lot of customers who don't want to be vendor locked in. Which brings us to Agni. Agni is a system which does all of this. It's generic, runs on any object store out there. It's efficient. It provides you dual access. It's distributed. And it also has a coherent namespace. And we call the system Agni because just the way we have two interfaces, the god Agni has two faces. So let's look at how we go about doing this. So at a very high level, Agni talks to an object store, because that's where it stores its data. And it talks to a key value store, where it stores its metadata. And we allow direct access to the object store for another application. This is very important to understand that we do not control the interaction between the application and the object store. Neither do we actually control the object store, because it's a black box to us. What design choices do we make? Well, dual access is important, and since we don't control that interface from the object store, we choose to adopt a one-to-one mapping. The question you're going to ask me is, you claim to be efficient. We just looked at one-to-one, and it's inefficient. What is happening? And the answer to that question is our multi-tiered data structure. Here we have Agni, which is interacting with an application. The next layer is cache, which is memory. In memory, this is volatile. Next we have a log and a base, which lives in object store. So this is the persistent layer of our multi-tier data structure. Here's a file manifestation in Agni. Any updates to it are written down as cache blocks inside the cache. We take multiple of these cache blocks and we flush them out to the log. And finally, we merge them into a base. Once our updates reach the base, dual access is manifested, and an application can come in and interact with this data. Let's dig a little more deeper into what's happening here. So here's your file. We divide it into file blocks, which most file systems do. And each file block lives in the cache in a location called the cache block. Cache blocks are small size because we want to leverage low latency of memory. We will take multiple of these cache blocks and we will write it out as log objects to the log. Here we want to do that because we want to leverage the high latency of an object store, so amortize the I/O cost to the object store. And multiple log objects will appear, A1 and A2, could be A3 and A4. Eventually, you will see in this case, A1 has now been superseded by A2 because 1 and 4 have been overwritten. It can be garbage collected, it will never go to the base. And finally, whatever remaining log objects will be merged and written out to a single object in the base. We call our approach an eventual one-to-one mapping. So it is one-to-one mapping, but it's eventually manifesting itself. So any update in a file will be show up in an object given some time. And this is called the file-to-object visibility lag. And it works both ways. Any update to an object will show up in the file system eventually. And this is called the object-to-file visibility lag. So how does this work? So here's the architecture of Agni. And let's say the user comes in and inserts a new object. This triggers an event and a notification inside of the object store, which we process using a notification processor we wrote running on serverless compute. It translates this object operation into a corresponding file system operation, ensures that the namespace is coherent, and then ensures that this is visible to the user. And this works even for delete and update to a file from the object store. Any namespace coherency violations are flagged, and the user can fix them. How do we manage a namespace, right? We talked about how the data is managed, what's happening at a namespace level. At a namespace level, let's look at an example where you have movie, an avatar, a folder, and a file. We store this in a master index in the key value store, and we use inode numbers to actually figure out how this all maps together. So for a directory, you'll have an inode key mapping to its metadata, a lookup key, which is its parent inode number to its name, pointing to its inode number, and finally a list of its children, which in this case is the inode number and the file name. For a file, you have the inode key pointing to its metadata and the lookup key, which is just its parent inode number and its own file name to its inode number. And this allows us to do very quick accesses to a given inode number if you know its parent inode and its file number and all its metadata. In addition to this, we also store some other metadata, which helps us keep track of which tier the data is actually living in. We term this the fragment map. So the fragment map is maintained at a per block level. And inside this, it could be living in the base, it could be living in the log, and it could also be living in the cache. And we temporarily index this so we know the correct order of what's happening. I don't go into the more details of how this actually all works. It's in the paper. I want to keep it at a very high level, but I'm happy to answer more questions offline. So how does this evaluate? How do we fare compared to other existing systems out there? So we took two macro-level benchmarks, FFmpeg and Bochai. So FFmpeg is a media transcoding library, and Bochai is a read aligner for genomics data. So we took about 320 gigabytes of data for FFmpeg and 80 gigabytes of data for PoChai. And we compared it to the manual approach, which is a very simple approach of moving data around. We compared it to S3FS, the red bar. That's a popular object-like object storage file system. We took S3QL, which is a file-like object storage file system out there. It does a one-to-end mapping. And we compared it to Agni, which is the green bar. And then Agni plus merge is when the dual access is manifested within Agni. For FFmpeg, we perform about 60% faster compared to S3QL and S3FS, and about 40% faster compared to the manual approach. For Bowtie, we perform about 40% faster for S3FS and S3QL, and about 20% faster compared to the manual approach. And this holds true as we continue to scale across multiple nodes. Some systems like S3QL do not support distributed. S3FS also does not, but we just run it any which ways and see that we are still powerful. And we perform better because we are efficient for partial writes. We can overlap I/O and computation, which many of these systems cannot do. So finally, what is Agni and what are we talking about here? Well, Agni is a complete dual access system with all desired features, right? It does everything which no other system can do. It's cloud neutral. You can run it on any object store out there today. You don't need to modify anything. It outperforms all the existing dual access systems, even after offering more than them. And on our roadmap is to add unified access control. This is something which clients want. They want this capability to have a unified permission layer across both of them. And that's a big challenge. Thank you for coming to this talk. All of this code is open source. It's on GitHub. You can collaborate with us, and you can also send me an email at my email address. Thank you. And I'm happy to take your questions. Yes.
A couple of questions. You touched upon Ceph, and I had a cursory look at your paper as well. So Ceph does support interfaces, the file, object, and block. So you mentioned the way they do that is not the right efficient way to do it.
Does it do it to the same data?
They do that with the same data, though.
I can tell you, I talked to Carlos Matazan, who was the creator of the system, and they don't.
Okay. So that's fine. So I think that my question is, so the work you've done, can that be upstream to the Ceph community? Or is that something it cannot be done because the whole architecture is kind of so different that it cannot be upstream? Because Ceph is very popular in open source.
Correct. I haven't dug too deeper into the Ceph architecture. Ethan Miller, who's the other guy who has worked on it, claims it can be done. And they've been talking about it for a couple of years. I haven't seen much come out of it. I guess what they have really works. And maybe they don't feel a need for dual access. It's just a different way of looking at it. But it's possible. I think somebody else had some question. Yeah.
Hey, in one of your benchmarks, you had manual, but you didn't explain what manual actually meant.
Oh, I did go through it, right? Manual is where you actually fling data around, right? You remember that very simple way of moving data between a file system and an object store, right? So that's very similar to AWS FSx, where they run a Lusher over S3. Right? So in this, it's actually performing pretty well because you're assuming the file system is in memory, right? But if you don't have a file system in memory, it's going to perform worse.
So in your experiment, what kind of disk do you use? SSD or?
Sorry?
What kind of disk you use in your experiments?
At which layer?
I mean, you have a storage device, right?
It's a generic S3 running over AWS. We don't do any modifications to it.
But okay. I see that there's a pretty significant improvement in Agni, right? And I would like to know, where actually this improvement come from. It's because of you access directly through the object interface by bypassing the file system, I/O stack, so that reason make it faster? Is that the reason?
So it's coming from overlapping I/O and computation. So think about it. These files are massive. And while you're computing on them, you have to hold them in memory because you can't write them to an object store. right? What we do is we start writing updates to an object store as your updates start coming down. And so we don't have to wait for all the data to show up before we write it. I can talk more about this offline, but also other things that we do.